Okay, great. So my guest is tonight, Wally Sarkisian. Well, very interesting guy. Very interesting guy. He's an Armenian, and he really does not like what the Turks have done to the Armenians, the Armenian genocide, and the whole Ottoman Empire thing. I mean, the Turkish government, not nice people. And now with Erdogan, oh my God, what is happening in Turkey? Anyway, so this guy, Wally Sarkisian, has this website. It's called gagrule.net. And he documents a lot of the atrocities committed by the Turkish government. And now, of course, with Erdogan, Erdogan is like horrible. He's trying to turn Turkey, trying to turn that country into a caliphate. And what Sarkisian is bringing up in the interview is that this military coup really wasn't a military coup. And no, he's not a tinfoil hat guy, and he's not a conspiracy guy. He actually makes a very strong case for this thing. Now, I'm not going to spoil it for you. You need to listen to the interview on blogtalkradio.com. But he makes a very strong case that, you know, that really wasn't a military coup. That was Erdogan being diabolical. And he backs it up. I mean, he really does. It's like, oh, my God, this guy might be right. Because right after this coup, Erdogan was arresting like everyone. He had lists of all his enemies. All of his enemies everywhere. He had lists, tens of thousands. I mean, it's just horrible what's happening in Turkey. This is a NATO nation. And we've got American nukes in Turkey. I'm telling you, this is going to be really, really bad. This Erdogan is a bad guy, very bad guy. And, of course, the media here and the establishment media in America doesn't care. You know, they don't want to cause any trouble. And anyway, so Wally Sarkisian. Now, what I'm going to do tonight is that I'm going to air the interview, of course, on blogtalkradio.com because we do the simulcast weeknights, 9 p.m. Eastern time. And I'm going to stay on the Facebook Live part to interact with my Facebook friends if they want, if there are any questions or whatever. And if not, then, you know, just end this part of it. But you can always listen to the interview on blogtalkradio.com. You can also download every episode of One Dimitri Radio right back to the first one. And you can have fun with that. So please follow me on Facebook and on Twitter. And try to share these, our simul streams, our broadcasts, our Facebook Live stuff, and, you know, Blog Talk Radio. Please consider sharing these with other people. The more you can share it, the more I would appreciate it to get the word out. Because I think we're doing something pretty special here. Boy, how full of myself am I? Did you hear what I just said? We're doing something really special here. No, we're not. I'm just sitting here just babbling away like an idiot, to be brutally honest. But still, if you could share it, that would be nice. All right, so let's do the interview here on blogtalkradio.com, and then we can interact on Facebook Live. If there's anything you want to ask me, interact. Now's the time to do it. So start with your comments. And Wally Sarkisian, here we
I'm sick to my stomach looking at what's going on in Turkey these days. Turkey had been a reliable American ally, or at least I always thought that it had, a member of NATO and kind of there between the Middle East and Europe and, you know, reliable partner and, you know, supposedly a secular nation, not like, you know, crazy Muslim Brotherhood, that kind of a thing. But then this Erdogan comes into power, and you just got a bad feeling almost right from the start. And now, right after this failed coup, it looks like Erdogan is cracking, not looks like it, he is cracking down unbelievably. Apparently he's had lists of tens of thousands of political enemies all over the place, whether it's in the army or the schools or whatever. And it looks like almost overnight, Erdogan is turning Turkey into yet another Muslim Brotherhood nation. And it's like, oh, my God, you know, we've got nukes there in Turkey that are aimed at Russia. And now I'm wondering what on earth is going to be happening to those and what's going to be happening to the poor people there in Turkey and all that. So I had a guest on a while back here at One Dimitri Radio, a guy named Wally Sarkisian, and he was talking about the Armenian genocide and how the Turks were responsible for it and have never apologized for it, which shame on them. And I thought, you know, he might be just the right guy to, give us an update about what's really happening in Turkey, not the sanitized version that you get from the mainstream media, which has been remarkably low-key, even though the Turks, the Turkish government, is taking away so many of the rights of their people and committing, I think, lots and lots of atrocities, human rights violations. And so we reached out to Wally Sarkisian, who's based in California. He's got an alternative media called gagrule.net about how the Turkish crimes against humanity. And Wally said, well, yeah, sure, I'd be more than happy to come back on here and talk with you and your people about what's going on in Turkey. So, Wally Sarkisian, welcome back to One Dimitri Radio. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Happy to be back.
So what exactly is going on in Turkey today, Wally?
Well, basically, when Russia put this embargo on, the entire Turkish economy collapsed. The 60% their tourist is down, hotels closing one after another, the beaches are empty, and the Kurdish freedom fighter, which they call them PKK, is sending bag after bag Turkish soldiers, police, gendarmerie to Erdogan. And so, and then, you know, the media was, you know, throwing the journalist in the jail and you name it. So there was a real true revolution going into Turkey, but the Turks rulers are, this is how evil they are. So he just created this military exercise, you know, they call them coup d'etat, but it's really military exercise. So what happened is, like, the best example is, like, say FBI want some drug dealers or terrorists, they want to put mole in. So he knew all those Gulen people, which is Gulen is the one, your neighbor in Pennsylvania and Poco Mountain, is just another evil. But so what happened is he had those people, he infiltrated them, he trained them what to do. So he created this military exercise, and he now becomes a popular guy back again. So look at this so-called coup d'etat. I've been looking at that. I'm trying to find out really if was this a coup d'etat by outside. And those coup people, they bombed near the palace, but not the palace. They bombed near the parliament, but not parliament. A couple of bricks fell in there. They bombed near his hotel where he was vacationing. They didn't bomb the hotel. Okay. So those F-16 were flying over his jet, and they locked on the radar on his jet, and they didn't shoot him. And, of course, now in Turkey there is this spinning. They say, oh, well, the jet ran out of the fuel, and that's why that didn't happen. I mean, anybody who knows those F-16, all you need is a split second, push the button, you know, would launch the cruise missiles, you know. And then on top of it, there is in Turkey this called Turkey block, where every day they block the social media for 12 hours or more. And that day they blocked only 2 hours. You know, so, you know, you could see, you know, this, he even staged this coup d'etat himself. And right now, every single person in Turkey, all those, even the media, there's one newspaper called Hurriyet, that was the only one left free. Every journalist, they're praising this guy. You know, everybody, you know, they're calling it this new Turkey and all that. And he just turned everybody, you know, as buddy now. And then, of course, you can see now he went to Russia to be a friend, now back again with Putin, where 6 months ago he shot their plane down. And I just put a video down because they keep claiming, you know, like they didn't know about it. So they're blaming on this guy, Gulen, Fethullah Gulen, which is in Pennsylvania. And so this is how the Turks do things. You know, they've been doing this for hundreds of years. And, you know, as I always, my slogan is, Turks your friend today and your enemy tomorrow.
All right. Okay, you covered a lot of territory there, Wally, and I appreciate that. Let's get started with the coup. It sounds like what you're saying is that it was not really a coup, that this was just staged by some Erdogan supporters to make it look like a coup, but no punches were ever thrown against the government. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there's no politician being killed. Nobody thinks. I mean, the airport was on lockdown, and suddenly this Erdogan comes and lands in the airport. No plane taking off, no planes. How did he do that? You know, I mean, there's nothing you could look at this and say this was really was from outside. I mean, I don't see it, but maybe some other people see it. I just don't see it, you know, because, you know, coup d'etat, you know, like the first thing you go after the rulers, you know. There was none of that attempt they made. So.
Wow. So Erdogan, you believe, orchestrated all of this, and why would he orchestrate all of this?
Well, look at Turkey. Now he's a hero. Every opposition now with him, he completely turned out to be just another, what do you call that other one, Ataturk. So he just replaced him, and right now it's called New Turkey. So this is false flag operation is bread and butter of the Turks. They know how to do this. This is not the first time.
Well, wait a minute. You say there are other false flag operations in Turkish history. Like, what are you talking about?
Well, I mean, there are tons of them. I don't know where even I start. You know, the Turks decide when you are their friends and when you are their enemy. Let me give you something about here in Israel, okay? This is in July 15, 2014. Turkish Prime Minister, when he was a Prime Minister in the Parliament, Erdogan had forcefully attacked Israel operation against Hamas. Here is I quote. Since this is what Erdogan is saying. Since creation 1948, we have been witnessing this attempt at systematic genocide every day and every month. He said, but above all, we are witnessing this attempt at systematic genocide every Ramadan. This is what Erdogan said about Israel. And now they're friends again. And same thing with Russia, you know. And so this is, they decide when you're going to be, like now, you know, they're blaming United States and CIA was after this coup d'etat and all that. And suddenly next day he goes to Russia. Now Putin is his friend. But this is how they do those things. And those of us who follow this Turkic stuff, and we know like which one is what and where, why they did this. When I just put video on my Facebook and also in the Twitter where Turkish Prime Minister, that the guy, Davutoglu's name, He said on the video that I issue shooting down the Russian plane. And now Erdogan saying, no, those were the Gulen people did so that we become enemy of the Russia. So this is just another false flag operation. So they shoot down, they become enemy of Russia, and now suddenly they're friends of the Russia.
All right, tell me more about this Gulen guy who's a Turk, but he's based in Pennsylvania, the eastern part of the state. What's his full name? What's his story? And what's his connection with Erdogan? And is he one of the good guys, or are there just different sets of bad guys in Turkey?
In Turkish history, they never had a good guy. Each one of them knows what crime they commit. Many times I put those things on the Twitter. This Fethullah Gulen, he came to the United States, I think 1999, something like that. He brought this Erdogan in power. You know, he was against the secularists and all that, and he was an imam who was preaching. I mean, I put a little video I made about him and those people in U.S. who support him, like Bill Clinton and James Baker and Madeleine Albright. Those are all was praising him and their buddies. So they bring in this guy. This guy was opposite of Erdogan. Erdogan is the guy who invented those terrorists in Syria and want to annex northern Syria, Iraq, to open a path through Iran to go join with his brotherhood in Turkmenistan, Central Asia. But this Fethullah Gulen, he wants to do it silently. He wants to do it through indoctrination. He's opening school in every country in the world, you think. And, of course, in the United States is his head office. He has 150 public charter schools. And then he teach American, he bring Turks to teach American English, you know, and science. So go figure it out. How's for
all right. So Gulen, so Gulen is also a radical Muslim guy, not a secular guy, but he and Erdogan are now enemies, but they both believe in Islamic State. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Jeez. Well, they want to renew. I mean, you see, like the German was totally defeated. The Japanese was totally defeated. So they are now a peaceful country. But the Turks were not completely defeated. So they still have this Ottoman Empire in their blood. And that the expansion is they want to do that. They just cannot accept that they were defeated. And that's what it is. This is why they're building their military. They are in NATO. And all is one goal. They want to build this new Ottoman Empire.
All right. So tell me now with Erdogan, you're saying that now Turkey, now that Turkey is more like a Muslim state or on the way to being a Muslim state.
Well, they are a Muslim state. You know, I mean, I don't understand when people say secular. What secular? They've always been, they've been Muslim.
Official.
You know?
Okay. Let me rephrase the question, Wally. Let's settle down here. So Officially being a Muslim state. Instead of officially being a secular one, let me ask the question now. Is Turkey now, are you saying they're now allies with Israel?
Oh, now they're ally again, yeah.
Why? Why? I thought they hated Israel.
I know. This is what I'm telling you. This is how the Turk manipulate the region.
But why? Why are they friends with Israel now?
Well, because they need them, man, because their economy collapsed. They need somebody to lobby for them in the United States. For who you think was Turkey's number one lobby? The Israeli lobby. So now they're losing their power in Washington, so they go back to Israel to lobby for them. That's what they need.
Why would Israel do that for Turkey? Because Turkey and Israel were almost close to a war not too long ago here with a boycott.
I know. They were in 1948. They recognized Israel. Israel was their buddy. Israel was lobbying for them. And in fact, Turkey will never got into NATO without Israel. You know. But when this guy came in power and he pushed his Islamic ideas and he had the military and all that stuff, economy. And so he said, we don't need any more Israel. They throw Israel under the bus. But then now the economy collapsed. They want Israel again.
Okay, but the question is, why would Israel now try to help Erdogan?
Well, because Israel probably has no friend in the region. So if Turkey want to back again, because they have lots of military relationship, like, you know. So.
Well, right.
It's a long story, but that's the subject by itself to talk about Turkey and Israel.
All right. Let's go on to Russia here. Here's what I do not understand. I don't know much about history. I mean, I barely graduated high school. But from the little that I think I remember of history, Russians and Turks have always hated each other. They've always fought each other, whether it's, you know, Orthodox and Muslim or, you know, the whole Ottoman thing, that they've always been mortal enemies. And now suddenly you've got Putin and Erdogan. How long do you think this relationship is going to last, knowing what you know about Russian and Turkish history?
Well, all it depends on Turkey, not on Russia. All it depends on Turkey when they think they don't need any more Russia, when they could throw Russia under the bus. It's not Russians. It's not Americans. It's not European. It's when the Turkey decide. This is how they do it. You know?
Yes, but why? Why is Turkey reaching out to Russia? I don't understand what the benefit is for each country.
Because there's a $35 billion economy between the both. So when the Russian cut off the put the embargo on them, Turkish economy collapsed. And their lira is down the drain. Their economy is down. The people were. This is why there was a real revolution against this Erdogan. But that's how he orchestrated all these things. He just turned around and says, "Oh, our problem is this Gulen." That, you know, everything from journalists throwing in the jail and the terrorism, Islamic State, they brought all in, sent them, they destroyed Syria and Iraq and all that stuff, crime he committed. He basically, in 4-hour military exercise, he turned everything around. You cannot find today a single journalist writing anything any more bad about Erdogan. None of them. And I follow them every single day, what they do. They are just praising him, and he's their Allah now.
Where is this going to end up in Turkey? Is he going to get the death penalty and have mass executions of any secular Turks?
Why, almost 100,000 people he detained and prisoned, and who knows what's going to happen. And I don't know. Like, I mean, it's very hard to predict what the Turks are going to do next. Because what goes in their head, the rulers, Turkish rulers, are that's what they do. You just have to watch and see. I mean, who would think this massive level of military exercise he would do? You know, nobody could think of that. You know, you would think, you know, little here, there, and they've been doing this for 300-400 years. Those people. That's how they're staying in there. That's why they're occupying all the territory, and they named it Turkey. You know, Turkey before 1923 didn't exist. You know.
Right, right. It was part of the Ottoman Empire, but the Ottomans were essentially run. The Ottoman Empire was run by Turks. Is that right?
Right, right.
Okay, yeah. All right. So right now, Turkey. What is the Turkey's relationship with ISIS? Are they still, are they allies? Are they fighting each other? Because ISIS seems to be now causing a lot of terrorist acts in Turkey. I'm thoroughly confused.
But their act, Turkey, you know, like always we say, terrorists exist because Turkey exists. You know, those terrorists cannot survive 1 week without Turkey, not even a week. They are the one who brought them all from Turkic nation, send them to the Syria. Everybody knows. Every Turkish media was writing about this. They caught trucks after truck, load of weapons. The terrorists, they send them in. They come to their hospitals. But everybody knows this.
Everybody, well, slow down, slow down.
Even U.S., they know this.
Okay,
even
Wally, slow down. Take a breath. I'm trying to follow you here. What do you mean everybody knows what about Turkey and ISIS? What is the thing that everybody knows?
They know that all those terrorists came through Turkey.
Okay. Why is Turkey supporting ISIS?
Because of neo-Ottoman Empire. Because they, for them, this is a tool. You know? So this is why they want to conquer this Syria, Iraq, and all those. Because they cannot stand. Because this was, you remember, all this was under Ottoman Empire. They're under their control. Syria, Iraq, Egypt, all the region, all the way Balkans to Vienna border, North Africa. So they lost all that, and they want it back. I mean, if you follow all those, what they say, this is why always I put this stuff on Twitter and on the Facebook, on my website, you know, telling what their rulers say, you know, like they want to get these things back.
So are they using ISIS? Because ISIS wants its own caliphate. So are you saying that the Turks are working with ISIS? ISIS is going to do their dirty work, and then the Turks are going to take over from ISIS?
What do you think the Ottoman Empire was? That was a caliphate. I mean, people forget about that. Ottoman Empire were Islamic caliphate. That's how the Turk came in the Turkish Empire, in the Ottoman Empire, as a slave soldier. And eventually they hijacked the Islam and wouldn't use it, and that's how they called it Ottoman Empire. So he was a caliphate. And this is why this Erdogan, this guy, Fethullah Gulen, this number one thing in their mind is Sharia law. But they just don't know. They just do it little bit here, they fight in this edge and that edge. So every time they try to do something, but then when they see they're not going nowhere, and they back off, you know. So right now they're starting to back off, you know. But that is in their mind. You cannot take Ottoman Empire off a Turkish ruler's head. Doesn't matter who comes in power.
All right. So, what about the army? Is there anyone left in the army that could stand up to Erdogan, or is he pretty much cleansed the army of secular people and he's got his own Muslim Brotherhood in there?
Well, apparently like 40-50% now, all the army generals and big shots, all he's in detention center. So what happened to army? I have no idea, but that's, he wants to demolish, you know, put all this man in it, you know. So what's going to happen? Who knows? I don't think he's, and as you could see, I don't know if you watch, that 3 million people, he brought them for rally. And he was, I think, in my opinion, was to show Americans that you cannot do anything. You know, I have the people behind me.
Does he have the people behind him?
Well, you know, when you're a dictator and you know what's going to happen to you, what do you do? You know, I mean, that was the case in communism. That was the case in Iraq and Saddam Hussein. What can you do but clap, you know, follow? There's no democracy, so what those 3 million people there doesn't represent 75 million Turks.
Wow.
But
okay, what about the eastern part of Turkey? You got the Kurds who've always been trying to break away to help start their own country. What is going to happen now to the Kurds? Is Erdogan going to be that much harsher on the Kurds? Is he going to cause war against them, or has he worked out some sort of deal with them? What's going on there?
I wouldn't be surprised, because he did, when he came, he did peace with them. I wouldn't be surprised if they see it advantage of Turkey, and then they're going to call him, say, hey, you know, we're brothers, let's sit down, let's talk about this. And because that's how, first, when they created this called peace process, and I told the Turks, peace process mean you could reverse it. And that's what he did when he lost the parliamentary election. He declared war on the Kurds, so the Kurds cannot vote, and he won the parliamentary election. So who knows what plan he has in mind. I wouldn't be surprised in a month or two, he called the Kurds, says, oh, let's sit down and do this process again. You know, and I mean, this is why Turks are unpredictable. You never know what is their next steps, you know. And so they decide, as I said, I'm keep repeating this, they decide who's going to be their friends, who's going to be their enemy. The opposite side don't. America cannot make decision, we're going to be friends of Turkey. It's Turkey decide that. See?
All right. Now, in Turkey, is there a strong religious group? For example, are there Sunni imams in Turkey that are powerful, or are there Wahhabi type of Muslim clerics, or are there other religious leaders, some sect of Islam that are powerful in Turkey?
Well, Turks are Sunni. Okay, the old Turks, most Turks, like 90%, they are Sunni. They are like Saudis, and Saudis, they have this Wahhabi, like all those religious people, they just create some version of their, but they are all Sunnis, and they all, there's no difference between Saudis and Turks. They're the same thing, you know.
Right.
But those little convoluted name here and there, you know, it's basically, it's like a media. They just create these things, but they are Sunni. They believe in, the Shias are different. Those are Sunnis, are the Shias are mostly Iran, like the Persians. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Bahrain and some of the others. All right. Now, back to the Sunnis. Are there strong clerics in Turkey, or is all the power in the government with Erdogan? Are there clerics that actually have, you know, powerful bases there in Turkey?
But remember, in Turkey, the religion is a ministry, belong to government. they decide, they appoint those imams and all those. They're the one who open mosque around the world. It's all Turkish government. It's not like United States, or you have Catholic, you have Orthodox, you have those different religion mind their own, or Pope. In Turkey is part of government religion. And they did. Like, for example, Turkey opened up world's largest mosque near Washington, $110 million. It was the Turkish government. So it's all Turkey decides. The Turkish government, it's how they have the largest ministry. Their budget is almost equivalent to their defense budget, you know. And so they decide to send which imam to what country, what imam would be in there. So they have full control over it.
Wow, I had no idea. This guy Gulen, yeah, in Pennsylvania, Gulen, how strong is he?
Well, he's very, very strong, very popular outside. But right now, this is why. I mean, remember, both of those, they came in power. They were empty pocket. They didn't have nothing. Okay, he was a preacher. This guy came in there, and then by chance he became a mayor. And so they did not. And now both of them are sitting in hundreds of billions of dollars. In fact, those two, my understanding is they're fighting for the money. And that's what is those two they're fighting. Principally, they both are the same. They believe in, both of them believe in Ottoman Empire. Both of them believe in Islamic regime. But this, both of them are so big, and that's why they're fighting each other. And right now, Erdogan is wanted to confiscate all Erdogan money. But yeah, both of them are very powerful, you know. But
okay, what about Iran? Now that Erdogan is taking control of Turkey, and it's a heartbreaking thing. I mean, I actually follow this news, and it's just a heartbreaking thing. What's happening there in Turkey? Those poor people. Is Iran worried about Erdogan, or does Iran not really care one way or another with Turkey?
Well, actually, Iran doesn't. He cares, but there's not much he could do because Iran is one country Shia versus, you know, Saudis and Turkey and Qataris and all those are Sunnis. They're worried, but what can they do? They cannot do nothing, you know.
Hmm, okay. So what is left, Wally? Where do we go from here? What's going to happen next? What should my listeners here at One Dimitri Radio look for next?
As I said, with the Turk, it's very difficult to predict what they do next. You really, really, it's very difficult. So we just have to wait and see. Because they are now trying to force United States to send this guy to trial, whether the United States is going to do that or not. So that is the biggest things we all are waiting to see what's going to happen. So just keep your eyes on this Fethullah Gulen. Is U.S. going to send them back? Because this Gulen has lots of friends in Washington, you know, from Bill Clinton's and to James Baker's, and I mentioned before, and there's he has lots of friends. Will they let the U.S. government send them back? I don't know. So this is the epicenter of Pennsylvania is the epicenter of Turkish and American football game, you know.
Amazing. Well, yeah. Wally Sarkisian, you're always really a fascinating guest. I must tell you, you're a very interesting guy. I've learned a lot. I always give my guest the last word here at One Dimitri Radio so that my guest can speak directly to my listeners. So I'm going to hand you my Shure SM7B dynamic microphone, and this is your opportunity to speak directly with my listeners, to repeat key points, bring up new points, and also to shamelessly promote your websites, your social media, your speaking engagements, your books, and anything else that you want. So, Wally Sarkisian, my microphone is yours.
Well, I always say this. This is my slogan, is that Turks, your friend today, your enemy tomorrow. If you keep that in mind, then you'll be okay with the Turks. But other than that, we talked about everything. And my website is www.gagrule.net. On Twitter is twitter.com/gagrulenet, one word. On Facebook is facebook.com/gagrulepage. And on the YouTube, it's again youtube.com/user/gagrulenet, one word. So that's what really we do. We focus on Turkey because they have every time committed crimes and get away. Like they in 1915 they massacred entire Christian population, and so it's always they have this atrocities, but always they get away with nothing, you know. So they never been put on a trial or nobody doing it. Like, for example, in United States, 46 states of United States recognize Armenian genocide, but Washington doesn't recognize it because all of this terrorism Turkey commit and keep Washington always busy, you know. Wow. Anyway, I thank you very much for letting me talk to you.
Indeed. Wally Sarkisian, thank you so much. Gagrule.net. Keep up the great work, and we'll get you back on again. I hope you have a great day.
You too. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.